Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is the Sound Elf Options Directions for Truth show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening. I've been caught here with food in my mouth. I thought I had time. Richard has convinced me that when you have 10 seconds before showtime, you can get anything done.
It's a lot.
We have a show planned for you this evening that pertains to everybody, I think, because everybody's coming up with allergies and sensitivities, and we're going to talk about the difference between those two. But we are dual broadcasting from Blog Talk Radio with Richard over there in California. Probably beautiful there today. And I'm in Ohio, and I'm running the WebEx if anybody wants to watch the show. And tonight we're going to be doing people's vocal profiles against our program, Goodbye to Allergies. So if we have any volunteers, raise your hand. And we'll look at the many things that we have in our database. We are recording this, both audio and video, and that will be available tomorrow on our website under radio. When will it be available? On Blog Talk, Richard?
On Blog Talk Radio, it's usually available about 15 to 20 minutes after we end the show. And you can find that by going back to Sound Health Options, clicking on the radio tab, then clicking on the Blog Talk Radio Archives tab. And the last five shows will be there. And I'll also put a link in both chats that'll also take you back to the Blog Talk Radio page if you want to listen to there, because sometimes there are show notes and things there. And I would pitch to everybody that it's a really great thing if you go to Blog Talk Radio, and again, this link will take you there that I'm going to put in both these chats. If you'd go there and sign up for a free account, they don't spam you, they don't do anything, you're just signing up for a free account. And then that allows you to log in, track shows, and go to chat, and you know, join me in chat over here if you want. And it also gives us, you know, kudos. Because we get more followers, as we know, is, I almost said something bad. More followers is always good. And it gets us up in the rankings. So we really appreciate people following us.
We are a featured show already, which I think is wonderful. If you go to the time slot right now, we're right there in the front. But we've had, and this seems impossible, we've had over 250,000 listeners. And I'm just awed by that. I love it, but again, it just blows my mind that what we have is so important that people want to listen to it.
That many people keep listening to us.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
And I should let you know that we're going to be doing a drawing from the people who are participating on WebEx and the people participating on Blog Talk. If you'll write in, we'll add you to the fishbowl there to get a copy of the software that we're doing this evening. We are being sponsored today by our software, Lipodemia. And if you go to Sound Health Option, no, it's soundhealthportal.com, you can see Lipodemia. Now, the spelling's a little weird because it's L-I-P-O in England and L-I-P-E in American. And so we just put the two together, Lipodemia. And you can go in and have your voice evaluated for free. And I don't know how this long is going to last, maybe a day, maybe two. But a lot of people have Lipodemia and don't know it. And Lipodemia is commonly called painful fat disease. And it has stages. We just did a project about it and found out that although it's incurable, we found that it is the vascular transporters out of the cell that's really causing this. And you can see the different stages of it. We just did an article on Kim Kardashian about having this disease, and she's in the first stages of it. But it gets worse and worse, as you can see. And this is a lady who exercises a lot. She's got fab abs here, but you can see her legs are very puffy, and they don't look like they even belong on her body. And when you get to stage four, it's just absolutely incredible. And it's not food. This is not food. This is about the fat not being able to get back out of the body. And I know this is probably making some of you very upset to even look at the way these people are suffering. And right now, the only cure is surgery. But we found what we think is going on with this, and that's why we're doing these free evaluations so that we can gather the data about this. There's a lot about it. It's an upcoming disease. I don't think I have in front of me, but we were in the National Enquirer, right? And we tried to do it as a public service. Let me see if I can bring up that article that's on the site. In the news, new articles or just articles, maybe just in the news. And here are some of the articles that we've done recently, and Kim Kardashian is one of them, about this disease and what can happen and how you can tell if you have it. Usually for women, if you'll feel the fat on the inside of the thigh, if there is any, and you find little lumpy bumps that are painful, that's usually the beginning stages of it. Some men have it too, but it's pretty rare. So we're putting the project together on the portal. If I could get to the portal. So go to services, and it'll say there's fibromyalgia up there too. The lipodemia and nutrition, there's also another muscles that they're putting up. So you can go and get your lipodemia looked at it for free. That's what we do here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology and Sound Health. And the reason we do this radio show is so that we can bring you information about what we do here. Richard, are you there?
I am. I'm just reading Steve's question. Steve put a really interesting question. I know I have an announcement, but this is such a great question about lipidemia. Does the body have trouble releasing the fat because the fat is encapsulating toxins rather than allowing them to circulate and poison the entire body?
They think that is part of it. And when you the fat comes in as a liquid, and then it gels, like coconut oil can be liquid or solid, and then it can't get back out of the cell. That is a tremendous question, Steve, which reminds me of something else I should let people know as soon as I answer this question. I will look at that, and I will ask the people who are doing the surgeries if there is some kind of toxin in the fat. Steve is one of our regular listeners, and several people have asked us, what is Steve's tiny information? It's called a tiny euro or something like that. I never can remember. But Steve, if you would put that in the chat for people, it has a lot of information about bioacoustics. And the other is the portal tutorials on how to learn to do all of this. So I'll put that in chat. If Steve will put his tiny euro, he's all the time changing it and adding new things to it. Every time we do class, he's there and helps. And with radio, he helps us keep on track and asks good questions. And I know you have a an announcement.
I do.
Let's go to that.
It's slightly. I can't say exactly askew. It's different than I'm usually ranting about something environmental. But I just thought that what Russ Kick does is really pretty amazing. Once I really begin to figure it out, he maintains a couple of sites. One of them, the one Sherry is showing, is called the memoryhole2.org. I'll put these both in chat. And then another one he has is altgov2.org. And the purpose of these is what he does is things that are pulled down from, let's say, the White House site. He goes out and finds them because they exist for a period of time, even though they, the wise people in the government who, you know, like when they stripped all the environmental change data from the EPA site, they thought that was going to just be, that's it, it's gone. We've pulled it down. It couldn't be anywhere. Well, of course, it's still other places. But what Steve does is a passion project, is he pulls all of that information and saves it. So he puts it on these various sites. As I said, he has the memoryhole.org, and then he has the memoryhole2.org, and he's also the alt2.gov site. I'll put all these in chat. Is the one that has all the documentation that's pulled down on, you know, they're slowing down because they're running out of things to pull down from the White House site, and saves them. And then he updates them, like in the alt-gov2 page. He has things currently, like talking about the Deputy National Security Advisor Powell's financial disclosures, because these are things that may be put up someplace but then taken away. And so I think the reason that he has multiple sites is because he always has them self-duplicating somewhere, so the information can't be completely gotten rid of. Or things like Trump administration divestitures, there's that word. And one of my current personal favorites is looking at Ajit Pai's financial disclosures. Ajit Pai is now in charge of the internet. And he's in the process of really trying to supposedly kill net neutrality, which net neutrality means that all bits are equal. That's net neutrality. So whether it's an email or a web surfing or a Netflix or whatever it is, all bits are bits. There aren't special bits. There aren't bits you get to charge more for. There's none of that. Bits are bits. Well, he's trying to change that, and he's trying to make it so then that it would give the people who are supplying that to say, oh, these bits are more important because you pay more. And it just so happens one of the companies that he was the former attorney, head lawyer for Verizon. So the gentleman in charge of the FCC is trying to make net neutrality go away. And did I mention he was the former attorney for Verizon? So I love the information in these sites, just in terms of it's fun to scroll down any of these pages and see, oh, that's, wow, that's really interesting. What got pulled away now? And this isn't editorial. This is just information he finds, writes it up with links to where, it, you know, the information. This is not him editorializing. This is strictly him being a documentarian and an archivist. And I think they're great resources and fascinating reading.
And it goes to show that they're trying to make money the important thing again, not let the people pick what they want to see, and that gets the most hits, and so that gets to the top of the list. But you can pay now to get to the top of the list and as an advertiser, but now they want it all that way? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, it's different than that. Search is a different animal. What I really mean is, let's say Comcast. I'll make this up. I'll call this company we call Comcast. So if net neutrality goes away, that means that Comcast could say that if you're going to use your bandwidth for Netflix, it's going to cost you more to watch Netflix because it uses a lot of bandwidth. Whereas if you go out and surf, it might not cost you as much. In other words, they're going to actually find a way to charge more for different bits. Whereas net neutrality is all the bits are the same. This isn't about search. This is about, well, it's a combination of the ability to have bits no longer all be equal. That's one part. And the other part is allowing companies like Comcast or Verizon or other providers of service to your phones for data or for cell to be able to then take that data and resell it. Up until now, they haven't been able to do that. Now they're trying to do that.
So more control.
More control and more we'll pay more eventually. That's really kind of does seem to be the bottom line of so much of it's the follow the money. My favorite, as we know.
I wonder if we could get together and just make a free internet. But there's so much bogus stuff on there anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to change places this evening because I'm going to do a Mother Earth thing.
Wow.
And we did not.
Cool.
Somebody
oh,
sent
this
me
this.
This
is mind blowing. I have to say this right out of the gate. This is mind blowing what you're going to talk about. Mind blowing.
I don't know who sent it to me. Some wonderful person on my email list. Oregon organic farm faces court order to spray Roundup. I can't believe this. This is a company, Azure Farms, that has all of this incredible food in the non-pesticide section of your market, and they're trying to force them, this is in California, to spray their entire farm because they have weeds like Morning Glory, Canadian Thistle, and White Top, all of which I kind of like. Do these have any herb value, Richard?
Any one of those could be, considered something, although not necessarily, mostly in fields where they're going to grow a crop. They use it as a high nitrogen load to till into the soil, especially in organic farms where they really manage the soil, not so much with chemicals, more so with like, let's grow things that then turns into nitrogen and breaks down and compost. So no, I can't see any rationale for that.
Well, they've decided that these three things are weeds. And they have a court order, May 22nd, 2017, to quarantine Azure Farms and possibly to spray the whole farm with poisonous herbicides, contaminating them with Milestone Escort and Roundup herbicides. This will destroy all the efforts of Azure Farms has made in the last years to produce the very cleanest and healthiest food human possibly. This is going to devastate their farm for at least 20 years. They won't be able to grow anything without this stuff. How long does glyphosate stay in the ground? Now, this is when other countries, mind you, are outlawing these pesticides because they have caused such devastation in their countries. But the people in the United States who are over this are so stupid, but rich. Maybe that's not stupid. Does money make the world go around? That's a whole nother show. But I find this absolutely despicable that you can't grow what you want on your land. How is that bothering anybody? It's your land. Do they need to build a greenhouse over it, a fence over it? I'm appalled. And I need to get off my soapbox and go back to something Steve posted. He's thinking, and a good thing, that this glyphosate may be what's causing all of this problem. Because this morning, Judy Hoy spoke about a very strong correlation, and I'm reading Steve's chat, correlation of pesticide use and deformities in animals and humans. And he goes on to give a link to go back and talk about that. Yeah, I agree, George. Same logic as mandatory vaccinations. One of the things I love about this article, and I will put this in the chat, but they have taken the step for us to do something about this. Down at the bottom, email us or call all this contact information, because there's going to be a court hearing and they want people to be there to write letters. So I'm going to put all of this in the chat for people. It is L Hernandez, H-E-R-N-A-N-D-E-Z, at co.sherman, just like it sounds, .or.us, or call Lauren at 541-565-3416. This kind of action is what's giving us all allergies and immune problems. Well, that's my soapbox. Do you have any other announcements, Richard?
No, I could be outraged for a long time about this. So we'll just move along. Let's talk about allergies.
We could talk about allergies because, let me go to Direction for Health. We want to say goodbye to allergies. So we have a couple of things to show you about what you can do, and you can do these on our portal. One of the things Richard points out a lot is lack of methylation, and that's the very first thing that you see when there's an allergy. The body's not doing what it ought to be doing. And here's a picture. Richard, you want to say it?
Oh, boy.
Methylation.
I'm the poster child for methylation most of the time. It's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, I think this is your chart.
it's
the quickest one I could think of that always comes up this way.
Yeah.
But this gray grid that you're seeing, that's the norm. That's coherence. And anytime you have this much of the blue squiggly lines above the gray grid, immediately think of methylation. And methylation in simple terms is how your body turns a banana into usable potassium. Because when you eat it, it's potassium for the banana, not necessarily for you. So the body has to change it into some kind of usable form. And that goes for anything that you're eating, raisins or whatever. That methylation tells us how the body is dealing with information, a food coming in. And I was trying to remember where it is on, I think on the portal, the Sound Health portal. Let me go there. There is a map for you that you can download. I don't know how quickly I can get to it. I probably could get to it quicker by going to the methylation mapping. But if you go to the Sound Health portal and start working there, it'll come up and say there is a map and you can download it. So the methylation worksheet is what we're talking about here. That is one of the major, major causes of allergies and sensitivities. So these circles, the Krebs cycle, the energy cycle, the detox cycle, they create energy at a cellular level, how to replete your DNA, and how to use your incoming resources are over here on this last side of this chart. If you can't get to the portal, write to me and I will send you a copy of this. But we're going to look at what causes allergies and really what's the difference between an allergy and a sensitivity. An allergy, you're really struggling with it. You can't breathe. With a sensitivity, you just have trouble catching your breath. So a real allergy is really threatening, where a sensitivity just makes you uncomfortable, bloats you up, makes it so you can't breathe. So those are very important determiners. Determinant, am I saying that wrong? I can't get this to go back. There. Genetic proteins get out of whack. Like a lot of people who are type A blood have a lot of allergies and sensitivities because they don't have the proper proteins to digest meat especially. Inflammation can cause allergies. Pollution, toxins, and immunizations, which is what Steve was talking about, stress, and then a pathogen. Some of the pathogens, they found that D-mannose, the natural substance, can come in and kill it. We also found what is grapefruit seed extract. I could not remember that name. So these maps are available for you, and that methylation mapping is available on the portal that you can go ahead and test yourself. Now, when we look at allergies today, we're going to look at IgG and IgE. Both of those immunoglobulins, G, immunoglobulins, E. E is the one that will show up almost immediately. You eat cheese and your nose stuffs up. Your body doesn't have the enzymes it needs to digest the cheese. Nature's Sunshine has really good plant-based enzymes, probably a lot of good plant-based enzymes. Therazyme does. Dr. Daniels, that was on our show, has her own line of enzymes. IgG, it takes you about 4 hours to get a response from this. So if you've eaten a meal and 4 hours later your stomach swells up and you got a lot of gas, and you may not associate it with what you've just eaten. Usually that's something to deal with carbohydrates, that the body doesn't have the enzymes, the diastase, amylase, to digest what is going on. So if we look at that, we can find out all these different kinds of things about allergies. Some things, chronic rhinitis, that's your nose, asthma, that's your lungs. Sinus can be up in the head above the eyes and cause a headache, or you can just get a runny nose. Now, most people think that a runny, snotty nose is not a good thing. But reality, just like Steve was saying, there's a toxin and the fat surrounds it to protect the body. Same thing with mucus. There's something in the body that shouldn't be there. So your body surrounds it with mucus so that it can shove it out of the body. So having that dripping drainage is the last 10% of this allergy to cheese or whatever you're dealing with. Richard put in his digestive enzyme of choice, herbproduct.com. Which reminds me, I ordered some of the liver stuff from one of the people we interviewed.
The liver medic, uh-huh.
Yes, and somebody stole it before I ever got to take any of it.
Jeez, that's
right
annoying.
Out of the office.
That's a bummer.
So it must be a good product if somebody's going to
steal it.
Steal it, right.
Wow.
Conjunctivitis, you can see that in your eyes get crusty in the morning. That's a sign. Dermatitis, itchy, bubbly skin, hives. Anaphylactic shock is one of the things that we've had worked on, and we know the frequencies for that, and have saved a couple of lives here. And usually they'll just give you an EpiPen. But lots of different kinds of allergies and sensitivities. Now, when I eat a banana, if it is very firm, I'm fine. If I eat it with a thin peel, and we did this on the air one day, it swells up my tongue so that I can't breathe. Now, well, I can't breathe very well. Now, if it shut off my airways and I can't breathe, that's a true allergy. Probably yes, George, we don't know who took. Well, I'm hoping they're having a good time with my enzyme, so thank you for the comment there. Well, I'm reading from chat. So we don't know what I'm allergic to exactly. I think it's the gas. I think we proved that one time on the air even. But it swells up my tongue to the point where, and it feels fuzzy and itchy, but it doesn't kill me. So it's a sensitivity, and probably if I ate more and more thin-skinned bananas, it'd get worse and worse and worse. So just the difference in sometimes people don't know what they're talking about when they say they have an allergy, because it is threatening. An allergy is threatening, not just uncomfortable. And I still didn't get to the portal, so I'm going to get rid of that. So what we would like is for someone to volunteer, and we will take their vocal print. I already have Richard up here, I took before. And we will run you through our allergy program. And I think I have it up. Yes, I do. So we have nobody willing to be an allergy person. I'll do it because my nose is kind of stuffy right now, if you can hear. And I'm going to talk about my allergies to banana and to thin bananas. My nose stuffs up when I drink milk or eat any cheese besides Amish cheese. And probably that issue is about the milk getting pasteurized. A natural food has in it what it needs to digest itself. If it's not a natural food, and like sugar, from sugar cane. You know, we have mice in the house sometimes, and they won't even eat the sugar. And I let this go a little longer. I'm going to push the yellow square to stop it. Let it go a little longer because there's some dead spaces. So I can roll over them and chop that out. And for any of you listening and you want a lesson in this, go to the tutorial link that I put up, or there is a textbook for you on soundhealthoptions.com under downloads. It's on the lower left-hand side, and it's blue and yellow, 70-some pages. It's free, and everything that I'm doing here this evening, you'll be able to follow along step by step. There is also on our website videos. So if you go to soundhealthoptions.com and go to downloads and go to Nano Voice, there are some blue and purple triangles. Click there, and that opens up all the tutorials and walks you through everything that we're doing step by step. So we gave you a book, we're doing a demo, we gave you tutorials in the hopes that we can share the information in a way that you want to receive it. So we're not going to save this, we're going to export the audio, and we're going to say S-E stuffy nose. That's good enough. If I could spell it S-T-U-F-F-Y, nose. And this is really easy. You can do this on the portal. I'm saving it in my WAVES file. We even give you the information to say, this is the way you want to set up your desktop. We're going to be able to do this one more time if somebody wants to volunteer. So I'm not going to kill this. I'm just going to minimize it. Open the Abacus program. And I hate getting rid of Richard's WAVE file here, but I need to and make room and just say new. And it's very easy to just import that WAVE file that we just did. All of this is easy. It's just you have to remember the step by step by step. You have to name this something very unique, or it will erase Sherry's stuffy nose. It will erase what you've already done. You can put a date behind it. Now, I really do not like the green that it's showing here. So there is a way for us to change the color, and I'm going to change it to nice blue. And you can see there's a little uppy lump here. It's not particularly good. I could use this. I just got bit by a tick, and it ended up with a red bullseye and all that. And this is what it looked like right after we did the the test. It's a rounded, what do you call that, uppy lump, an arch. And it's got big increments in it. If I pulled it apart, you can see large increments. And that would tell you that there is an inflammation there.
Wait, go back. Can you enlarge that for a moment again?
Yeah.
The same section? Because there is this, what is this cathedral-like thing? There's three at 213-6. There's those three cathedrals together. Is that, no, further to the right. Nope, to the right, to the right. Those, nope, to the right. Well, actually, I see them throughout here. There's these interesting, you know, pointed, peaky things that are all very similar. Is that a pattern? What is that pattern? That, yeah. There's a number of those there.
Yeah, it's something very active. When you see those open spaces, mm-hmm. it's something active. And you can see how these are duplicated.
Yeah.
They're almost the same. This means that it's in several systems of the body. And Lyme disease does go through several systems of the body.
Wow.
But that arch, I'm trying to find a pathogen lump to show you the difference. Although Lyme is a pathogen.
Hmm.
And I don't see it, and that's aggravating me. It won't open. I'll find it in a minute. I don't remember what I named it. Pathogen hump. That's what I named it, hump. Okay, it's opening so we can see what a pathogen hump really looks like. Because I think it's very, very important. So I hate to have quiet space here.
I could hum a show tune.
That would be good. Go for it.
Yeah, humming is not my... Anything musical is not so good.
Well, it's not here either. Let me do a control find. Hump. I feel like a fool when I do this.
What's a good marinade for rack lamb?
Thanks, George.
I could do that. Sure. Yeah, that's easy. You know, garlic, olive oil, splash of vinegar just because I like that, and take a handful of your favorite herbs and chop them up coarsely and throw them in there and rub that on there. Although I'm not fond of the rack of lamb where they put little doilies, you know, they twist it around and they put little doilies on it. I think that's silly, but that's just me.
Yeah, I care more about whether the lamb tastes good.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are wonderful filling in while I'm making a fool of myself. I'm determined to find this because it's really important for you to, when you're looking at something like allergies, it will be a straight up and down point. We had
well, that's
some
why
here.
I had to that's why I had to pause and ask, because I think I've seen this pattern before at the screen we're looking at now with the arches. But I hadn't really been, there are so many of them that I just had to know, what does that indicate? So to know that that's an active toxin. Oh, wow, that's a serious arch. Or a bad toupee.
Yeah, an arch with little teeny increments.
Yeah.
And here is an arch from inflammation. So this is the body being allergic to what's going on. And that's a big difference. And sometimes you'll see these together. I would expect to see them together when we're looking at Lyme disease.
Richard, looks like one of those Mormon cathedrals.
Yes. And here is a toxin. Mormon. This is aspartame. And usually it's thin on one side and thick on the other. The more open it is, the thinner it is, probably the closer in time to the vocal print that you have ingested it. So we just want to make sure that you can see those differences between what is an inflammation that is causing an allergy, that uppy lump rounded thing, from the pathogen. Now, you might see this in a tooth pathogen that's causing an inflammation to the gum. But it's still going to be maybe an allergy to some food that you've eaten that makes your gums bleed or something. So that's what we're looking at, this lump that tells us there's some kind of inflammation. And I bet if we looked at this little trauma spike at the top, we'd probably find the Lyme Borrelia as the issue. Now, you can be allergic to Lyme. That's why it's painful. That's why it's bacterial. And I've been using doxycycline by sound, and it's working, people. We don't often get to do experiments that are this serious. But yes, I love this. And the doctor is, yes, she confirmed, but good grief, I'm putting my life in jeopardy, she says. That may be the case, and I just can't help myself. Okay, so let's put today's date in here. 05/16/17. Now, that's not going to work because it won't work with slashes. So I'm going to take the slashes out of there. We get a lot of email. It says, I can't get the stuff to save. Well, that's probably 50% of the time. It's probably those slashes. You can put the slashes in birthday, gender, female, and we're looking for allergies. Now, what do we do with this grid? This grid is alive. You can hit it any place, and it'll give you a frequency. It's just active everywhere. What we did was just lay a coherence grid over it based on this vocal print, and then on top of that, laid down the actual frequencies of the vocal print. And you can see things that are low. These are called stringers. And you can see it divided into three sections at the bottom. Minus one, not much of a problem. Minus two, you better look at that seriously. And minus three is urgent. At the top, it takes whatever space is left over and divides it into three equal parts. So plus one, plus two, plus three. Not much of an issue in plus one, plus two. You better start looking, and the closer it is to that top, and I just put a frequency in, or tried to, without expanding, and it didn't work. So I expand it just by rolling it over with the left mouse, and we look at it, and there it shows that, 191, 147, that's probably the most important piece of information in that chart. The next one might be these two lows. Anything that's in this gray coherence grid is okay for the moment, and we use this to test things like what's your insulin doing, are you taking too much prednisone, that kind of thing. So we can look at each of these. The portal does this for you automatically if you want it to. You can just, I want to use this database, and it'll just pull the points for you. So 384 and 191, I want to see if I ask the computer to pull the points, and it did get those. It got the two that I wanted, but it got three here in the coherence grid, and you just might as well throw those away. Well, I put an extra one in there, and I shouldn't. I probably have to expand this if I can't get right on it. I think I deleted something at the top. I don't want to insert. I want to delete. In Ekipse. So I was just lazy and I didn't pull it out. Expand it, I should say. So anything that you see in that coherence grid, you might as well just pitch, unless it's just almost at the top. Because it's so insignificant compared to everything else. So what else? We've got four spaces here we could fill up things with. you suggest something, Richard, you'd like to look at?
Just a second. I have to make it a little bigger on my screen. That, yeah, that one to the left there, that area, that, yeah, that.
You want to pick the tallest or most wide open. That means
the most wide open. Yeah. It's another one of those active, you know, spiky things you talked about that's active now. That's fascinating.
And here's a big spiky thing. There's another thing that you could look for here. When this is very low and you expand it and it goes from low to high, even though it didn't pick that point, when something goes from low to high, straight through that coherence grid, it's usually something of pain. And this, whatever it is, bite, whatever, it's painful. So I probably could use this formula to make a frequency formula to get myself out of pain if I had time to do it. Now, did you see what dumb I just did?
Yeah, I was surprised.
I didn't mean to do that trick.
I know,
again.
I didn't think so. I thought, no, that's not right. Be great if this had a feature of an undo.
Yes. I don't know if it has it on the portal or not.
Okay.
So we go back to full size after we go, oh, we need to get rid of this one because we have four pieces. And we just can't, you can't hardly choose these. This one down here is so insignificant, I'm going to get rid of it too. If it doesn't look like something urgent, like if you look at this chart, this is the piece that's most out of sync with the rest of it. So if you just went in here and pulled points now, 228, 274, 228, 301. It didn't get it where I wanted it. So I'm going to have to erase it. But a lot of times it will correct it for you. It just doesn't happen to be doing it right now. So we picked this one. We want the tall open one. I thought for a second I had punched that other thing again. And we don't have to pick all the points. We can. And you have to have six highs and six lows when you're at this technician level. And all of these were highs. And there's tricks a way around that if you watch any of the 500 videos or so that Richard and I have done. So we have all of these frequencies from this active grid that are out of bounds of normal coherence. So we're going to go see what they mean. We could get rid of this one. We could get rid of that one. You know, we could pull more stuff up here. And I think I will. Now watch what happens, though, when I do that. All my directionality disappeared. That's the price you pay when you don't get it all done it in the beginning. The more accurate your pull is, choosing these points, sonostats we call them, the more accurate your report is going to be. Now, I'm not going to save this. I'm going to go down to the Rubik's Cube because we use the Rubik's Cube as a symbol of perfect health. And when the Rubik's Cube gets all messed up, then that's bad health. So we want to put this in our GNS file. Excuse me, let me take a drink and just save it in that GNS file. Now we can go just absolutely dump it in. And it usually takes you right to the GNS file. And there's my stuffy nose. So what reports do we want to run? Hormones, proteins, toxins, genes. Let's see if there's any nutrients. Enzymes would be a good one to start with. Fatty acids, not enough can cause problems with Well, maybe not proteins yet, but vitamins, minerals. I'll throw in herbs for Richard. Flavonoids, not enough vitamin C, can cause problems. Okay. Let's look at, oh, geez, I see it already. And I was just sneaking a sandwich right before we came on the air. And if we look at, make this bigger, GAD. GAD 65, GAD 67, glutathione and hydronase. This is a wheat issue. 65 makes it a pancreatic issue, and 67 makes it a liver issue. Glutamate decarboxylase. Wouldn't you say I have a lot of problems here with glutathione, glutamate, glutamic acid too? They all kind of pitch hit for one another. Mm-hmm. It says, Sherry, you've got a problem eating that bun, even though it's supposed to be made with whole wheat and all that. It really caused this to go high, and that's probably my stuffy nose. Histidine function. Histidine gets really high when you have allergies, and you get really touchy. You hurt more. Your nerves get frayed, and you can ameliorate that by giving someone methionine. Just kind of a neat thing to do by sound. And look, catalyzes the decarboxylation of glutamate to GABA and CO2. And GABA, gamma-albuteric acid, that's probably why people get on edge. But when the GABA gets messed up, you get mentally stressed. I'll put it that way. And we had so many breakdowns today with equipment. Not just one, but three computers and two speakers and a SMAD all went today as we were trying to do clients. So I was already a little bit stressed. But that certainly says, you know, Sherry, get off the bread. Okay, let's look at this one. Pyridoxal phosphate. Look, cofactor for GAD. How many times do I have to be slapped here to say...
Wow.
It's wheat in your case. Active form of B6, and that is on that map, the P5P here and the B6. So that's where the kink is in my not being able to process GAD efficiently. It can't get any further from here. And I did take some digestive enzymes, too.
Hmm.
So it's not getting to this glutamate down here and glutathione. Glutathione and hydronase, GAD. And it does cause diabetes from a pancreatic perspective, and it does cause diabetes from a fatty liver perspective. So I probably should run myself through methylation. We don't have time to do another person completely. Do you want to bet if I just would run myself through the methylation using the same information, we'd probably see all kinds of wheat allergies here, and we'd be able to back that off using sound or by going to your local drugstore and seeing if we could find something that helped digest the wheat better, or if we could buy some glutathione and hydronase. I don't know what that's in. Is that in that whey stuff that Steve Hewer sent us, Richard?
It might be.
So I need to take some more B6. I need to look at some active glutathione. So we could look at, let's look at proteins and enzymes. I was going to hurry, but we don't have enough time to do something else. If we just do these two, we might find some genetic issues that deal with these allergies. Okay, boy, and there's some genetic things here too. You want to look and see what is the same, what comes up the same as a protein and a genome, because that means, yes, it's genetic, yes, it's activated. Streptococcus pyogenes is high. Hmm.
And what would that mean? What's that an indicator of? Did you have a proclivity toward having pneumonia?
That could cause a lot of things. And remember when you discussed with me that I should get some oxygen?
Yeah.
Ozone. And I started turning on the ozone machine, and I was looking around. I discovered mold.
Mm.
So that could be involved here.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the protein for GAD67 again, and it's high. I don't know what this is. That's one of the things I love about the portal. You can just bop it, and it'll take you where it is. Small inducible cytokine A18 precursor. This is an inflammatory protein. And if we really wanted to look at it just from here, cytokine A18. I use Wikipedia.
It says Homo sapiens. I mean, can you get the monkey kind or other kinds?
I don't know. It may just mean something they chose from here. You know, to put in a database. CYTOKINEA18. If I could spell cytokine, that might help. CYTO. So this is really a sleuthing game, which I kind of love, of looking up to see what's going on. Definition of small inducible cytokines. Cytokine antibodies. Wonder what it's from. It doesn't look like it's going to tell me. Involved in immunoregulatory and inflammatory process. Naive T cells. That sounds bad. You know, that's one of the things Richard said to me when I got bitten, that I should rest and rejuvenate the T cells. Looks like I should just take these frequencies that are too high and make an antidote formula for them. Maybe I gave myself too much doxycycline. I gave myself a gamma formula for doxycycline. IgE high. IgE, immediate response. And my nose is starting to stuff up, as you guys can hear. And I ate this sandwich as we were coming on the air. But here is that cytokine A18 as a gene high and as a protein high twice. Let's see if it says the same thing. It says exactly the same thing. Receptor for thymic stomal lipopoietin. That means that it showed up twice. And if I would make myself an antidote of this protein, the protein would make the gene shut up. That's kind of a neat way to look and see if it's anything genetic. And certainly I would bet, and this Horden is rye, I would bet in my family that you're going to see wheat allergies all over the place. When I eat wheat, my nose swells up, gets very wide. So we know that it's affecting those real tender, soft tissues in the nose. And G. Horton, and I just noticed it's low. I could eat rye. There's no rye here. But you can test yourself this way anytime you want. So you test your voice, and remember our little reader rabbit thing that we have out for people? This is the way that you test things. Let me see if I can put that back. So if we go to our site, the Sound Health Options site, and I think it might be on radiation, might be here. But there is a reader rabbit passage that we've had tested, and it starts out, "What's real?" asked the rabbit one day as they were lying by side. Here it is. You can read that, then eat your banana. Wait about 20 minutes, and then test you again, reading the same thing. and it will tell you your body's reaction to the banana, because you have the same voice print reading the same thing, and your variable is the banana or the chocolate. Now, don't do something like chili, because there's a lot of things in there. You know, test one thing at a time. But you certainly can use this program to test yourself for allergies. And you can do the same thing with the nutrition program that is on the portal for free to see what it disturbed. You can get this allergy program on the portal. You can buy a PC copy, but it's much easier to do on the portal. We hope that we have given you information to help make your life a little brighter, a little easier, and a little more self-responsible, because that's why we're here. That's why we spend all of this time putting these shows together for you, so that we can support your need to have dominion over your own life, whether it be immunizations, glyphosate, pesticides, tick bites, or even the food you eat or are forced to eat. So we're happy that you joined us. Richard, any last thoughts?
I was saying that I was having an inflammatory response to what's happening in politics, but I don't know if there's a rate for that to balance that out. I'll toss in that this Sunday we're doing a great show with Holly Lucille, who fits into this world. She's a naturopathic physician, and how naturopathy approaches, you know, doctor duty completely different than Western medicine. So that fits right into the, you know, I think really the trend is that we need to really learn how to take care of ourselves, because government's a mess, period.
She's the one we tried to do a show with in the...
Yeah,
the
system wouldn't...
So bad,
yeah, it was horrible. We tried for 20 minutes, but it was horrible. So I'm looking forward to having a real conversation with her this time. So
that,
yeah, taking
great.
Care of oneself. Yep. Thank you, Marcy. How do we know if coffee has pesticides in it? Oh, that's a long conversation.
Ralph Hutola and that group owns a pesticide-free coffee plantation in Panama, and he's done a lot of research on this. It's vitaminlawyer.com, so you could get in touch with him. But there's a lot of people who fib about whether or not something is pesticide free.
There's also the gentleman with the company name, the Bulletproof Coffee. If you just look for Bulletproof Coffee, he does a coffee that he imports that's organic, and then he also has it tested, because he talks a lot about one of the issues with coffee is mold, because it's put into giant containers and shipped here, and then it's usually roasted here. It's usually not roasted out of country. And so it can get mold in a container. So his coffee is pesticide-free and also tested for molds. So that's a really good thing. I have no affiliation with him. I agree with mold is tricky. Mold is bad. All right, everybody. We're over time. I know it's surprising. Yes, that's right. You put butter in the coffee. That's because of the fat spectrum. They also add MCT or medium chain triglyceride oils. Because then when you have that whole thing together, you get a cognitive bump from the action of the synapses in the brain from the MCTs, and the fat spectrum levels up the caffeine. All right, enough of that.
I may have to start drinking coffee.
Exactly.
Later, guys.
All right, thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.